In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Amen. Once again, we're going to turn to Mary. We see this beautiful statue of Our Lady Fatima, and she invited us to pray the rosary every day. So let's start by saying the Hail Mary. Hopefully we'll be able to pray the rosary during the course of the day. That's the prayer that she loves most. She loves the Hail Mary, but she loves 50 Hail Marys even more. So together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Mary is the daughter of God the Father. She's the mother of God the Son. She's the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit. And ask the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light so we can learn a lot in our daily presentation. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Yesterday we celebrated Mary as Queen. 8 days earlier we celebrated the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary in heaven, body and soul. Today I'd like to talk about what hopefully will become a new Marian dogma. There are actually four Marian dogmas, and they are the Immaculate Conception. Then there is the perpetual virginity of Mary. Then there is Mary's divine maternity. She's the mother of God. Then what we celebrated 8 days ago, the Assumption of Mary into heaven. But there's a strong movement, especially on the part of Dr. Mark Miravalle, who is a professor of Mariology at the Franciscan University called Steubenville, to promote the possibility of a fifth Marian dogma. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And there are three different aspects of this fifth Marian dogma, which you can read in Lumen Gentium chapter 8 in the documents of Vatican II. And they are Mary as mediatrix of all graces, Mary as co-redemptrix, and Mary as coadjutrix. So let's go through those three different aspects that could be placed, they hope, into one Marian dogma. It would be the fifth. Let's start with Mary as mediatrix. Mediatrix means this, that all of the graces that we receive, they come from the Blessed Trinity. They come from the throne on high. However, they pass through the intercession of Mary. If you like, Mary is like a bridge that unites two parts of the land. Fathers of the Church have used this image. The Church is the mystical body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the members, and Mary is the neck. So Mary is the neck that connects the head, which is Jesus, with the members. So all the graces that come to us, they come from God, but they pass through the intercession of Mary. If you want a biblical passage, go to John chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. What we have is the wedding feast of Cana. Is that at the wedding banquet, they ran out of wine. And Mary turns to Jesus and says, Son, there's no more wine. And Jesus says, what is this for you and for me? My hour has not yet come. And Mary says the last words that we have recorded of Mary in the Bible. In John chapter 2, verse 5, she says, do whatever he tells you. And as a result of that, Jesus turned the water into wine. which was the first public miracle of Jesus, and as a result of that, the faith of the apostles really started to grow stronger and stronger. So Mary's mediatrics of all graces means that the graces come from God, but they pass through the intercession of Mary. Second is, Mary is co-redemptrix. The first encyclical of Pope John Paul II was the encyclical Redemptor Hominum, which is English for Christ is the Redeemer of man. The only Redeemer is Jesus Christ. However, John Paul II wrote another encyclical on Mary, and it was Mater Redemptoris. That's Latin for the Mother of the Redeemer. So Jesus redeemed us, but he wanted to choose a very special person to work very closely with him in the work of redemption, and that was his mother Mary. That started when Mary said, yes, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to thy word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's called the incarnation of the Son of God. But especially, we see this as Jesus hangs on the cross. You can read in John chapter 19. As Jesus hangs on the cross, he looks and he's about to die and he sees those two who he loved most underneath the cross, his mother and Saint John the Evangelist. And he says, woman, behold thy son. Then he looked at his mother and he said, son, behold thy mother. And from that moment, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home. And as Jesus hangs on the cross, giving Mary to us as our universal mother, as he hangs on the cross, he says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. He dies. He redeems the world. But there underneath the cross, Mary is the co-redemptrix, which means that she collaborated intimately with Jesus in the redemption of the world. Christ is the only Redeemer, but Mary is the co-redemptrix. So we want to be eternally grateful for Mary for saying yes to receiving Jesus within her womb, but also because Mary willingly decided to suffer underneath the cross for the salvation of the mystical body of Christ among which we are the members. And finally, Mary is the coadjutrix. What that means is Mary is there to help us in our times of great need. An example I like to give is in the life of St. Francis de Sales. St. Francis de Sales, when he was a young man, was going through a lot of turmoil. He was infected by heresy called Jansenism, and he believed that he was not going to be saved. So because of this erroneous heresy that had contaminated this young man, he couldn't eat, he couldn't sleep, he was losing a lot of weight, he's becoming discouraged, despondent, didn't feel that life had any meaning, until one day something happened. He entered into a church in Paris. The name of the church was Notre Dame de la Victoire, Our Lady of Victory. He entered into the church and he knelt in front of a beautiful statue, and there was a prayer to Mary, a prayer that's attributed to Saint Bernard of Clairvaux called the Memorare. And he prayed that prayer. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who called out to you was left unaided. After he finished that prayer, it's like a blanket of despair seemed to be lifted off his shoulders. He experienced peace and joy and happiness, went on to become a priest, went on to become a great missionary. Then when he was in his 30s, he became a bishop. He wrote two of the greatest books in Catholicism, Introduction to the Devout Life, in the Treatise on Love, not to mention thousands of letters that he wrote. And he became a great saint. And why did he become a great saint? Because God worked in him. But it was through the intercession of Mary and that powerful prayer that he made to Mary that he was freed from the temptation of the devil, that he couldn't be saved. So today I've explained to you the possibility of a third Marian dogma in three different aspects. Mary is mediatrix of all the graces. Mary is the co-redemptrix. Christ is the only redeemer, but Mary collaborated in the work of redemption. And Mary is a coadjutrix. She's always present there to help us in our need. It was through the intercession of Mary that the water was turned into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. Let's ask Mary to turn our water into wine. So I invite all of you to possibly write a letter to the Pope, inviting the Pope to proclaim this fifth Marian dogma. Invite all of you to share this wonderful message so that more people will love Jesus through the intercession of Mary. And through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mary's queenship, and through the intercession of Our Lady Fatima and the Immaculate Heart of Mary we have behind us, may God bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'll see you tomorrow at the same time, same channel.